gospel reading tells us about Jesus giving sight to a blind man. This is one of those readings that causes me to envy the pastors in the African continent, because most African Lutherans consider a one-hour sermon to be a little bit on the short side. I wish I had an hour that I could unpack all the wonderful things our Lord has for us in today's gospel, but I don't. So we'll only get a little bit of his teaching today, and you will probably appreciate my brevity. But today's gospel not only teaches us about the miracle of giving sight to the blind, but it also gives us tremendous insight into the fallen state of the human condition. We see pride, cruelty, and fear on many levels in this reading today. You would think that giving sight to a blind man would be cause for celebration. You'd think that the man's family would want to throw a party or a feast for the occasion. You'd think that the entire community would give thanks to God for his many blessings. That's what you'd think. But that's not what happened. So instead of a celebration, this healing led to great controversy and division in the community. His neighbors refused to believe that he could heal. The Pharisees, well, they launched into an investigation. The healing caused suspicion and fear. And in the end, we learned that blindness of the heart is a lot more dangerous than blindness of the eyes. It all starts out today with this question from the disciples. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This question kind of reflects this superstitious kind of thinking that we still have today. When we see somebody with some sort of a disability or some sort of an ailment, you know, we'll sit there and think, I wonder what sin caused him to be like that. Well, I'm glad I didn't do that kind of sin because I don't have that. Yeah, people think that. We think we're superior to another person only because we don't have the bad misfortune that they have. Now think about the horrible condition of this blind man. Okay? I'm not talking about just his inability to see, but I'm talking about the judgment he had to feel from the community all around him. Not only must he have to rely on the charity of others in order to exist, but he also had to listen to the rabbis speculate about what horrible sin either he had committed or his parents must have committed to cause him to be blind and have to sit around and beg for a living. So, the man's not only blind, but he's blind and he's intensely guilty now. Furthermore, those walking by him needn't show any pity to this man because, after all, he's only getting what he deserves. That disability in and of itself is not the worst problem that this man has. Now think about the freedom that Jesus gave to this man when he answered. He said, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Here was a rabbi who now taught that this man was no better or no worse than anyone else. And please note, okay, there was no specific sin that caused blindness of this poor man. Now, while the word of God freed this man from his guilt of blindness, while the sweet grace of God freed him from the condemnation from the community, And while they certainly could have thrown a wonderful celebration for what was done for this man, it's not going to be very comforting for the rest of us, for me and for you. See, here today, we learn that whether or not we are blind, deaf, lame, all that has absolutely nothing to do with us. There is nothing within you or I that prevents us from suffering any particular calamity. Whether we observe anyone with any kind of mental, emotional, spiritual, or physical disability, our only response can be, "There but for the grace of God, go on." You see, the man in our gospel lesson today, he was blind because of sin. Doesn't mean he's being punished for any particular sin. It only means that blindness is one of the many different symptoms of the deadly condition of sin, a condition that affects and infects each and every man, woman, and child. Now remember, sin is not just what you do. Sin is who you are. By virtue of our conception by a sinful mom and a sinful dad, you too are sinful. And two wrongs don't make a right. So then, this teaching is not the end of this account. Jesus had already given this man spiritual insight into his blindness. Jesus continued to teach by giving physical sight to the man as well. Now, Jesus returned the man's sight in a most sacramental way. According to our definition of the word sacrament, there must be three parts, remember? There must be the command from God. There's got to be a command from God. There's got to be the forgiveness of sins. And there has to be visible elements. This healing today almost qualifies. Scripture said, having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sin. Here we have the command of Jesus. He commanded it. And we have visible elements. We have the spit and the mud. About the only thing that doesn't make this a sacrament is the gift of forgiveness of sins. Oh, but that will come later. Now, of course, the man went and washed and came back seeing. This is terrific. This is wonderful. This is a cause to rejoice. Then the account we have has to go and spoil it all with an extra little bit of information. You see, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened the eyes of this man. Great. That's going to give these Pharisees a really bad headache. You see, God's law forbade work on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees had a lot of traditions about what constituted work on the Sabbath. The problem was, most of these traditions were based on human opinions and not on the Word of God. According to the man-made traditions of the elders, Jesus had just violated the Sabbath. This caused a severe contradiction. If Jesus violated the Sabbath, then God would not give him the authority to give sight to the blind man. Nevertheless, according to their traditions, Jesus had worked on the Sabbath, but God had given sight to the blind man anyways. So the Pharisees had no choice. They had to mount this investigation into this incident. At first they tried to prove there was no miracle at all, but all the witnesses agreed. His parents testified that until very recently he had been blind from birth. The community at large had agreed. The man himself insisted that he had been born blind. The clear and irrefutable testimony proved that there had been a miracle take place. The man who had once been blind could now see. Then the Pharisees tried to come up with a way for Jesus to give sight to the blind and still be a sinner. As you and I read the account, you can almost see the Holy Spirit at work in the man who had been born blind. He began to perceive that the Pharisees were afraid. He began to realize that the miracle Jesus had done threatened them. He began to see that the Pharisees were basically clueless. But notice the progress of the interrogation they had. At first, the blind man, he answered their questions with great respect, you know. And over time, he began to poke fun at them. And by the time they came to the end of their interrogation with this guy, the blind man was preaching to them. The blind man didn't even have a full understanding of who Jesus was, and yet what little he knew, he confessed. I once was blind, but now I see. Eventually, the Pharisees, they had a temper tantrum, and they threw the blind man out of the synagogue. They excommunicated him. But by then, the blind man, he didn't care. He knew that the man who had healed him was more important than those Pharisees or even the synagogue. And then Jesus found him. Did you see that in the gospel? It said that. Jesus found him. That's really important. That's the way it always is. Jesus finds us. We don't find him. Jesus was never lost so that we find him. You see, some modern television evangelists would like to torment you into believing Jesus was lost and you can find him somewhere. But it has been and always will continue to be Jesus seeking us. And that's another reason that the foolishness of accepting Jesus into your heart simply doesn't work. He's already there. So here in our gospel, Jesus revealed his true identity, and the man worshiped Jesus. The man who was saddled with physical blindness and guilt of his sin was now free. He was free to see. He was free of the Pharisees. He was free of the synagogue. And most of all, he was free from sin. The Holy Spirit had given him faith in the one true Savior, Jesus Christ. And he had been healed. You see, although Jesus had little respect for man-made traditions of the elders, he had the utmost respect for the very Word of God. He kept the Word of God in every detail. He knew the full impact of sin's curse, including blindness and every other disability. He offered up the perfection of his life in order to take the eternal impact of sin upon himself. And with his sacrificial death on the cross, he earned the forgiveness of sin for all mankind. There are many folks today claiming, no, insisting that they have no sin. And they are spiritually blind, just like the Pharisees in our gospel today. They're doomed to sliding that slippery slope into eternal suffering. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the washing of regeneration of our baptism, by our faith in Jesus Christ, we are free. Free, even though we are blind, sick, or maybe even riddled with arthritis. We're free and elated from the hope to eternal life. Our sins forgiven by the sweet grace of God on account of our Lord's passion and resurrection from the dead. And like we've sung before in that great hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.